Hi, my name is Maddie Sturdivant, and I am with the South Central Kentucky AHEC Rural Health Scholars Program at Western Kentucky University. Today, we are here with primary care physician, Dr. Mike Collins. First, I would like to thank you for sitting down with us. We really appreciate you giving us your time. To start off, the first question would be, can you give us a brief introduction about your educational history and explain how you got into the medical field?
Okay. I'm from Bowling Green, and I graduated from Bowling Green High in 1969 and attended Western Kentucky University for my undergraduate degree in biology, and then went to the University of Kentucky 1972 through 76 for the MD degree, and then did a three-year family practice residency at Hopkins County Hospital Trover Clinic in Madisonville, Kentucky, and started my office practice in 1979 in a rural practice in Edmondson County, Kentucky, where I practiced for 27 years, and then left that practice to do a full-time home care practice.
Okay, so around the Bowling Green, Kentucky area, you are well known for partaking in the underutilized practice of home visits. Can you elaborate on why you participate in this and how it's beneficial to the community?
Okay, I have personal and professional reasons. Personally, I just don't do well in an office setting at all times. I'm a person who likes to be outdoors and like to move and go from place to place. After doing 27 years in the same three exam rooms, I thought it was time to go out and start seeing people in their homes. And then the professional reasons are because it was a very beneficial service to the patients, and they appreciated it, and it was very helpful to people who would have a very difficult time getting to a doctor's office and getting regular follow-up in an office. I like the concept of doing something different that wasn't done, and kind of a new frontier. Years ago it was a very common thing, but recently it's been de-emphasized, and I kind of like to stimulate interest in that as part of providing care to people in the community, caring for the people in their homes.
Can you maybe elaborate on what a typical house patient looks like, or your typical illnesses?
Okay, my patients are mostly homebound. Many of them are bedbound or can be up in a wheelchair. Have all ranges of chronic diseases. Many are neurologic, like strokes and various neurological syndromes and paralysis. Age groups vary from all ages. I have young people who have had traumatic brain injury and birth defects, up to elderly people who are they've had strokes, or they have severe arthritis, or end-of-life issues where they just cannot get out and go to an office regularly. And we add to the care that they are receiving from their usually very diligent caregivers, whether they're family members or people that are from agencies, or people that as individuals are caregivers for homebound patients. So it just it just adds to that kind of care for those kind of people.
Do you have any specific stories you want to share that kind of embody like the ideal homebound patient?
The ideal situation for someone who is that disabled and not able to, say, leave their room is to have a good full-time caregiver with them, and then home health nursing also providing services. Then a physician who can make calls in the home, I think all of those things can work together.
Okay. You've kind of mentioned before that home visits cannot financially sustain a person. Do you have any propositions for how we could implement this into the modern healthcare system?
Well, I think to do home visits, it would have to be something added on to a provider's office practice as a benefit that they offer that would, you know, for a select part of their patient population. Say, for instance, somebody goes to a doctor for 25 years and sees the doctor regularly and then becomes severely disabled, has a major stroke, would have to come to the office by ambulance, would be a great hardship on the family and caregivers and everyone, and especially on the patient to be have to go by ambulance to an office for a routine visit, or have to be sent to an outpatient center or an emergency room when someone could call on them and see them at home for those problems that don't require the higher level of emergency care. And so a lot of doctors nowadays don't go to the hospital. In fact, this is something that disappoints me, but a majority of doctors don't go to the hospital with their patients now. There are hospitalists and there are office providers, and there's been a fractionation of patient care there. Now, there are still plenty of doctors who do go to the hospital with their patients, and they're with them during their illness that requires hospitalization. But anyway, the ones who don't go to the hospital could, you know, I would like to inspire a few of them to think, well, I could start seeing some people at home, even though doing it exclusively is not cost-effective. Doing it for people that really need it who are already in the practice could be beneficial and certainly could build goodwill for a practice. I'd kind of like to inspire people to think along that line. I think there'd be a few who might consider that, and there are, I'm sure, I know of at least one other doctor in this town who will go see patients at home, and but it's not a common practice, and I'd like to see it become more common. And for the sake of those people that it is such a hardship to get out. You know, it's something that some doctors might consider, some providers might consider as an adjunct to their, to what they offer their patients, an extra service. It's not something that I say should be done or has to be done, but it's something that I think could be beneficial in a lot of situations, both to that doctor's practice and to the patient who's homebound.
Do you want to share how you first got into doing house calls?
Well, I did house calls from the first day I went into practice in the office where I started in 1979. I went in with Dr. Sid Farmer in Brownsville, Kentucky, and he'd been in practice there about 30 years. First day in the office, he called me into his office and he says, "Mike, whatever you do, don't do house calls." He says, "If you do it for one, you have to do it for everybody, and it's just not going to be possible to do house calls." And because he had done them all these years, and he worked hard. And so I said, "Well, sure, Dr. Farmer, I won't do house calls." And then that evening, that very evening, my first day in the office, a man came in and says, "Can you come see my wife? She's really sick." And I says, "I'll be right out there after the office closes." And so I went to the house, and his wife was critically ill. She was breathing about four times a minute, and pulse rate was in the 40s, and she was very cold and bloated and unresponsive to us, very swollen tongue. And it turned out that this lady had hypothyroidism in its severe end stage, something that we don't usually see because people get treated for their thyroid problems very early nowadays. We look for that a lot, and we find it a lot, and we treat it. But this lady had had hypothyroidism for a long enough time to not... I'm going to turn that off. Sorry. Long enough time to not be treated. To get to the very end stage of her disease, which we don't usually see. But this, in other words, this lady was at the point of death, and so we got her to the hospital and got her thyroid treated, and she lived for several years after that. I got to see her as a patient for several years. And so that was just one example of how that house call paid off for her. And I did many house calls during my 27 years in that practice, but not as many as we needed to because our county did not have a nursing home. Our county did not have a hospital, and we had a lot of people cared for at home. So that kind of set me up. And then I decided along the line I'd like to do a practice that's exclusively homebound.
What have doing house calls, like how has that impacted you as a physician?
Well, it's been more to my benefit, I'm sure, than to the people I see because, like I say, it's psychologically makes me feel good to be outside. I like to look at seasons changing and like to see the weather and like to keep moving and like to visit homes. Some homes are a lot nicer than others to go in, and some of them a little difficult, but still, it's been beneficial to me. And again, you were asking, I'm sorry.
How has it impacted you as a physician?
Oh, okay. And it's introduced me to a world of medicine that I wasn't aware of from the office. I could imagine what it was like for somebody in their home, but when you really go there and you see them in the home and you see how the medicine, how the illness impacts them in their home, then you understand a lot more about how things go. You get to see if people are really taking their medicine. We look at the medicine bottles when we go in each time, and very few people, although we tell them to, will bring their bottles, all their bottles, to the office. So we don't always know exactly what people are taking, but at the home, we can look at them. We can see how many of the pills are in the bottle, and we can know about their compliance. And makes, I think, for a more accurate treatment of patients if you know what they're really taking.
Do you have any other specific patient stories you'd like to share with us?
As far as house calls, well, we've had several incidences where we just happened to walk in just as a patient was expiring, and that's been an interesting situation. To be there when that happens at home, it's a little different than when it happens at the hospital. And we find that a lot of people, it's to their benefit to expire at home. I've done some hospice work, and a lot of what I do is palliative care. I've walked in the door just as somebody took their last breath on more than one occasion. Several occasions, really. We've been able to see people get better. For instance, I had a young man with traumatic brain injury. Neurologist called me and said, would you start seeing him at home? Uh, he's in the vegetative state. He'll never be any better. He'll always be totally unresponsive and requiring tube feedings, as long as, and will not be responsive at all. And I said, yeah, I'll start seeing this person. Well, I watched that boy who was 17. He's now about 30. Yeah, it's been about 13 years. And he's now talking. He's still limited to the bed, and he has a lot of, he can use one arm to some extent, but he's talking, he's able to interact with his mother, who's his caregiver, and he's able to watch television, and he's able to joke. He actually jokes with me, and you know, so we were told that he would not have any function at all. And though his functioning is very limited, it's it's really paid off, the diligence his mother has shown. She's took care of him now for 13 years, and I've got three or four other caregivers for people with especially traumatic brain injury, and patients who have quadriplegia or paraplegia, who have had very vigorous providers, caregivers at home, usually a parent, who are really advocates for the patient too, you know, and so, and they certainly are better off than I think than being in an institution.
Do you have any advice for future health professionals who plan to work in rural areas?
Oh, okay. Rural practice, well, I think to be prepared to see anything, the most important thing you can do as a health provider is get as good a knowledge base as you can, be as good, know what you can do and what you can do well, and also know what you can't do, and have a backup system for those situations you meet that you can't handle, because there'll be plenty of those. And so, knowing your own limitations, and also, developing new skills and learning as you go. You never stop learning in medicine, and you never get out of school. If you ever think, I don't have to do any more studying, then you're in the wrong field, because you got to study. Of course, your different specialty boards will require you to keep up with so many hours and so much continuing education. But still, the best medicine is medicine where you have been well trained. That's the most cost effective medicine. A well trained provider can save a lot of healthcare funds or can save a lot of money for third parties, because the right amount of knowledge prevents a lot of trial and error type medicine.
Definitely. Well, we thank you so much for sitting down with us and taking time to pass on your knowledge with us, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Oh, well, thank you, and I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it.